Good morning, everyone. A massive Happy New Year to all of you. We do hope that 2022 will be a fantastic year where we glorify God in all that we say and do. Now, it must be said, I think, for most of us that there is no better feeling in this world than reaping the rewards after extremely hard work. Now, for parents, I think most of us would agree that nothing would give us greater joy in this world to see our children succeed and become really good citizens of our society. Now, for students, it might just be that feeling of finishing high school and doing it well, getting into varsity, getting the degree that you want, or even just finding the job you've always longed for. But there's also a flip side of the coin. And for most people who play sport, we fully understand this. Where yes, you wake up early every single morning to train very, very hard. You eat the right thing, drink the right thing, only for the event to be cancelled, or for you to tear a muscle or be injured in some way or form. I think for sportsmen and women, the last 20 months or so have been incredibly hard. Where you've done everything you possibly can to train for a particular event, only for that event to be cancelled last minute. However, it must be said, I think there is one thing that could be more disappointing than that. And that is training or studying and working extremely hard only to come in second place, not get the grade you wanted, the job you longed for, or to fall short from your desired goal. Now, today's text speaks into both great achievements and great disappointments. And so let's read it and unpack it together. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 8. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying from the throne, saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the older things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of sulfur. This is the second death." Now, from verses 1 to 4, God is painting a picture for John, and even for us today, a picture of the new heaven and earth. And I'm sure that for most of us, we're wondering, what does this new earth look like? It could be completely pollution-free, with pollution-free air and water, crime-free streets and communities, no need for prisons or laws, but rather complete serenity, unadulterated beauty, peace, and love. Oh, friends, how I long for that day where you and I can go walk anywhere, on the beach, in the streets, any time of the day with no concern for anyone's safety or security. How I long for this new heaven and earth with no more tears, no more death, no more crying and pain. No more lockdown regulations. Oh Lord, may it be so in 2022, in regards to the latter at least. where children can tackle one another and just play, where adults can shake hands and hug one another and live mask-free lives again. It is our hope that this text will give us all the courage we need for the remainder of this journey through this pandemic, but more importantly, may it give us the resolve and encouragement that we need to live faithful, God-centered lives from this day into all eternity. You see, in this last vision of Revelation, it doesn't just describe the new heaven and earth, it also clearly describes who will reside there. This new heaven and earth will serve as a new dwelling place of all the saints throughout eternity. And so, who are these saints? They are the ones whose names are written in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, the church in Philadelphia was promised that all who are victorious will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, from my God. That this city is called the New Jerusalem indicates that there's a relationship with the old Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. As the old creation has been corrupted by sin, so the old Jerusalem had been the city where prophets were killed and where Christ himself was crucified. And oh, how Jesus lamented over the city in Matthew 23. Yet throughout the entire Old Testament, there are rich promises for the future restoration of Israel, God's people. This new Jerusalem will be God's dwelling place among his people. And whether it's an actual city or just a symbolic community of God's people, we're not quite sure. But the one thing that we are sure about is that in this city, God will dwell with his people and they will dwell with one another. Therefore, God's people, all believers, will live in this magnificent city, described as the beautiful bride prepared for her husband, pure and radiant, ready to join the one she loves. This in itself should motivate every single one of us to keep fighting the good fight all the way to the end. And maybe the last 20 months or so have really tested your faith and resolve and caused so many of us to doubt. Oh, friends, if that's you today, hold on to God's word. Hold on to his promises as found in this text today, where he says, "Behold, I am making all things new." This means that right now, God is making all things new. And maybe we just need to look at this new year through that lens. In 2022 and beyond, God is making all things new in your life and in mine. And so let's briefly look at what God is currently doing in our lives and what he will continue to do to the very end. Firstly, God is making you and I spiritually new. The greatest frustration I find on this side of eternity is that we all continue to sin. And I believe that Romans 7 describes this beautifully, where Paul writes in verse 23 and 24, "I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in the members another law at war with the law of my mind." This war is one of the most frustrating things about life right now, or at least for the children of God. We want to be holy, but we fall short of holiness every single time. We want to love, but we often say and do very hurtful things. We want to worship, but then we don't like the songs. We want to walk in peace, but we fight over the smallest things. We want to be pure and holy in thought, but then impurity just bombards our minds. Don't get me wrong, I think for many of us, there's been some progress in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's actively working in our lives. But just like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25, "I don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know the good, that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And here's the hope, friends. Verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, this is what God promises when he makes all things new. We will be made spiritually and morally new, not just partially right now, but completely one day. If we look at verse 2 of our reading today, it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the picture of the church, prepared and beautified for her husband, Jesus Christ. When God makes all things new, he makes the church, the people of God, spiritually and morally beautiful for his son. Just look at how this is described in verses 9 through 11. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And in the spirit, he carried me to the great high mountain and showed me the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like the most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear and crystal. You see, when God makes the bride ready for the Son, the way he does this is by giving the bride his glory, having the glory of God. You see, having the glory of God will purify us so deeply and so thoroughly that we will be like a rare jewel, clear as a crystal. Don't you long for that day when you will be so good, so right, so pure that you'll be as translucent as a jewel, that people will look at you and see straight through without seeing any impurity at all. Nothing hidden, nothing shameful. God will make us spiritually and morally beautiful for our final marriage with his son. This is not the only thing God's going to do and is doing right now. The second thing that God is going to do, and this should give us incredible hope, especially if you've had a very tough ride physically. God assures us that in the life to come, those who have believed in him will receive new and glorified bodies. Yes, our final hope is not disembodied spirits. No, the Bible rather teaches a very different destiny for God's people in verse 4. It states that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Friends, physically, there will be no more death, no more pain, no more tears. What that means is that the body that you and I know right now will be changed, because this body will die. It does hurt. It cries. And so if death is gone and pain is gone and the tears are all gone, then the body we know now will be gone as well. And so if you're sitting there right now in pain, whether physical or emotional, know this, that right now God is making all things new. And for those who have put their broken, battered, and bruised bodies into the hands of God through faith, know this today. God is making you a new and glorified body, just like Christ's. Goodness, there are a lot of people who I know feel that they didn't quite get a fair deal when the bodies were handed out. Some people have dramatic deformities. Some have lost limbs. Some are paralyzed. Some can't hear. Some can't see. Some have serious emotional difficulties. And the list goes on and on and on. But the good news is this: God is making all things new, and He has no intention of leaving anybody in that condition if they trust Him with their lives eternally. We might never fully understand why someone was born blind and left that way for most, if not all, of their lives, as we've seen in John chapter 9. But one thing is clear for all who put their faith in Christ, in the new heaven and earth, all our disabilities, all our disease, pain, and suffering will be left on this side of eternity. And I'm pretty convinced that for most of us, we will be eternally grateful for that in this regard. But that's not all, friends. Not only will God make us spiritually, morally, and physically new, God is also preparing a new and glorious place for us. This is the point of verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I don't think that this necessarily means that God's just going to pick us up out of planet Earth and put us into a new solar system. That might happen. What I do think Scripture speaks of is the complete restoration of heaven and earth. A global rehab project, if you may, where everything futile, evil, and painful will be done away, where God makes all things new again, just like it was right in the beginning, where God said it is good. And when He created us, He said it is very good. So it will be in the new heaven and earth. It will be good again. Very, very good. And yes, in verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of our reading today, we get a glimpse of this new heaven and earth. But I think verse 3 is the focal point. When John states that he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." This is a massive statement, and we need to look at the progression of the text thus far and in today's message. God will renew all of us spiritually and morally. He will renew us physically to the point where we are once again very good, and He will renew all of heaven and earth, all of creation again to the space where it is good, to the extent that a holy God can dwell with us once again. Just like He did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, so it will be in the new heaven and earth, where God can dwell with us again, because He has purified us spiritually and morally and physically, and He has ensured that the place that we reside in is absolutely pure, clean, and holy and good once again. Don't you long for that day where we can walk up to Jesus Christ, where we can go and walk on the beach with Him and admire His creation and speak to Him face to face? I long for that day. Friends, it is true that God is with us now in faith. His Spirit dwells in and with us, as seen in 1 Corinthians 6. And Jesus always also promised us in Matthew 28 that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. But as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, right now we walk by faith and not by sight. And so for most of us, if not all of us, in faith, there is this deep longing that that faith would eventually turn into sight, where we see God face to face. And Revelation 22 speaks of that, where it says that they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Wouldn't that be amazing? Where we can see God face to face, hold his hand, walk with him, be embraced by him face to face. When God makes all things new, he makes us spiritually and morally pure, just like a flawless crystal. He'll give us glorified bodies just like his Son. He'll renovate all of creation. And then finally, he will come and be with us. And so forever and ever, we will live with pure hearts and glorified bodies in the new earth, in the presence and the glory of our Heavenly Father. As Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, so God will walk with us. This should be the desire of every single one of us, that we will do everything we possibly can to reach that destination. And so we'll note in today's reading from verses 7 and 8 that there are two massive reminders here for us, that there will be people that are victorious and will spend the rest of eternity in God's presence, but there will also be those who don't. And so the question for all of us today is this: will you drink from the water of life, or will you be part of the fire of death? Those who endure this life, the temptations and the evil, the filth and all the sin, and just place their hands into the hands of God, they will be the victorious ones. They will be the ones who drink from the water of life. But those, the text actually calls them the cowards who turn their backs on God, the free gift of eternal life, they are the ones who will partake in the fire of death. And so friends, right now, as we start this new year, for some of us, we need to ask ourselves this question: what does God need to make new in my life this year? What does he need to do in order to ensure that we are part of the victorious ones? O Lord, we ask through the power of your Holy Spirit right now that you will reveal that to us. Reveal to us right now, God, where our lives are destined for. And we ask that if our lives are destined for the water of life and eternity with you, that you would keep us with you, that you will hold us close to your heart now into all eternity. And then for those of us whose lives are destined for the fire of death, oh, we ask, Lord, that you would intervene right now. That right now your gospel of grace and peace would inspire us to surrender our lives to you and allow you to make it new from this day onwards into all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, as we continue in our journey this year, as a church, we'd like to remind you that we will do everything in our power to help you grow in your relationship with God from now into all eternity. So friends, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us in 2022 and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.